Many people get fixated with the wedding feast of Cana about the issue of wine, the water into wine. And that's okay to a limit, but it is in one sense a little bit immature just to focus on the words of the miracle. Jesus performed many miracles, and not all of them get talked about as much as that miracle, the wedding at Cana, the water into wine. 2018 years or 19 years later, people are still talking about that wedding reception. We are here today. And that rarely happens unless there's an amazing event happen at the wedding. I had that in reverse several years ago. I was invited to Darwin to share in the wedding of a friend of mine from my Navy days. His daughter was getting married. So I went up there, and I quite liked Darwin for a short visit, and we had a nice little time. Came the wedding reception, and the custom, as most of you would know, in Australia anyway, is that the groom pays for the alcohol, for the liquids, the water and the wine, and the bride's family quite often pay for the reception itself. So it was my friend's daughter being married, and he goes up at the very end after everybody else has left except he, his wife and myself to settle the account for the reception, and he has no money. So he comes back to me, who is still sitting at the table having my glass of wine, and says to me, have I got a credit card? He'd left his wallet at home. Have I got a credit card that he could use to pay for the reception? So I did give him a card, and we ended up settling the account, and that was all fine. Sort of. No, the friendship is as strong as it ever was. But I thought of the wedding at Cana, but it worked completely in the reverse for me. What little I had was taken. But it came back. When we look at John's account of the wedding at Cana, and I just remind you that it's only recorded in John's Gospel. The other three, Mark, Matthew and Luke, have no mention of this. They start Jesus' ministry in Galilee, and they concentrate nearly all of his ministry in Galilee up until his crucifixion. John, written 85 years after the event, thereabouts, he concentrates Jesus' first miracle at Galilee, this one, and then nearly everything else in Jesus' ministry is centred on Jerusalem. So John's focus when he writes his gospel and his audience is very different than Mark and Matthew and Luke's. And so this event, it happened in some way, shape or form, is not to trip us up with the details of the event. John has specifically and symbolically put this in as the first miracle. And traditionally it is understood to link with the first epiphany, the three wise men recognizing Christ, recognizing the glory of God as an infant. The second was Jesus' baptism, where we heard last weekend the voice of God say, "This is my son, the beloved." So the wise men, the birth of Jesus, then his baptism, and then this miracle here. Those three go together as the first three, what we call epiphanies, or letting the glory of God be seen. That is the entire purpose of John's gospel. He's not caught up in a lot of the facts like Mark is. He is caught up in the one purpose of letting the glory of God be seen. If we keep that in mind as we read John's gospel, and it comes in at the most strategic times of the year, though this is the year of Luke now, year C, John's gospel is always brought forward at those very pivotal times. So as we start ordinary time, what is it that is in this particular story that John feels is so important to put it right at the beginning of his gospel? Behind the symbology, the language that he uses, are things like just before this it says 3 days later. For 3 days the people's ears would have picked up the three. Jesus rose on the third day. It will be connected intimately to that. It was a wedding. It wasn't a bush barbecue out by the river. It was a wedding. A wedding in Scripture is always symbolic of the relationship between God and his people. And therefore, it is a joyous relationship. John is saying the glory of God is, when it's seen, it's experienced, it is overwhelming. So how does he do that? He brings in the six jars for the ablutions that we're told that are customary amongst the Jews. The ablutions means the washing away of sin. They can't be all that sinful, surely. They've got six jars. These honken jars are about that tall. And if you go to Cana, you can still see one of the jars. It's in a glass thing to protect it. But it's about that tall. They're huge, about the size of this lectern. And my understanding is that if we translated it into modern terms, they'd hold 120 to 180 gallons. I'm old, so I'll go gallons. For those of you who aren't old, you'll go litres. So that would be roughly 454 litres to around about 681 litres. That's a lot. And for those of you who may have a glass of wine on a hot day, there are 750 mils in one glass of red wine, one bottle of red wine. You multiply that by the 681, you've got a honking lot of wine. This is some wedding reception. Now, I don't know how many people were invited to the wedding, but that is a lot of wine. That's the first point. So is it realistic? Who knows? But John then goes in and he says that they filled the jars to the brim. So these jars were not only full, they were full to the brim. John is overstating everything to say that the glory of God fills our life to the brim. It practically overflows. So that's why he keeps accentuating everything for us. It's more than we can understand. It's more than we need. We can't fathom how much this God loves his people. This is the best wedding reception ever. And he's paying. It's his credit card. John then goes in and talks about the stewards. Now, you might just think, as many of us do when we go out, that your meal just turns up and you're fed. Well, it doesn't. People have to go and shop and prepare and then plate it up and then present it. And it's usually the person who presents it that cops it when you're not happy with your meal. There's a whole background goes behind serving a meal. So the servants, known as the stewards in this particular wedding reception, they are integral because that's where we come in. We are the stewards. We are the ones that deliver the joy of this enormous reception. We are the ones that have experienced the glory of God. And we probably need to reflect at the beginning of the year, well, how do I celebrate that? Am I that miserable Catholic that walks around tripping over my bottom lip, the one that says amen? Or am I a person who's actually quite joyous because I have experienced the glory of God? I have not seen his face, but I know that I'm invited to this reception and I get a small taste of it at glimpses through the journey of my life. So John gives us that excitement at the beginning of his gospel because it begins the journey of Jesus' ministry, which will end up in Jerusalem and ultimately unlocking the key that lets us all into the great reception of our afterlife, our eternal life. That's what it's all about. John is overstating everything so that we will believe that this is the glory of God. The word believe in John's gospel is used 98 times. Phenomenal. So this believe is very, very important. First letter of John, it is used 9 times. It's only a short letter, but the word believe is used 9 times. And the word belief, strangely enough, the noun, is only used once. So believe is a verb. It's a doing word. As stewards, we are the doers. We are the ones that bring the glory of God. And I think in our sinfulness at times, we actually take the glory of God away from some people. We destroy it. And that's what we have to work on. So as the journey of this ordinary time through the beginning of John's gospel starts off, I just ponder this and I'll leave it with you. I think that those who journey with or walk with Jesus, well, they become the ones who actually work with him. Those who walk with Jesus work with him. Those who refuse to work with Jesus I think that they cannot even walk with Jesus. The two are connected together. We journey with, we walk with Jesus, we will work with him. We become the stewards. If we can't work with him, then I suspect that we can't walk with him. May your journey always be peaceful and joyous.